Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I am so excited that you are tuning in on Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week. And we are going through the book of Ezekiel. In fact, we're on Ezekiel chapter 41. We've been covering a chapter a week, so that's been exciting. And some people say, why do you go back to the Old Testament? Why not just stay in the New Testament? Did you know that the Old Testament is the foundation for us to understand the New Testament? Okay, so all the New Testament people, all the apostles and the rabbis and all the people of the New Testament, Christ followers, would have only had as their scriptures the Old Testament. And so in order to have a foundation and to understand the New Testament, you need to have an understanding of the Old Testament. So we are in the book of Ezekiel, and if you're enjoying this study, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. And the new version is out. WashingtonDefender.org is out, and so it's much easier to join a huddle. It's much easier to be a part and to share across platforms. So I want to encourage you to, you know, be a part of a huddle, get involved. It's a good thing. So, all right, we are in Ezekiel chapter 41. And, oh, I forgot one more thing. If you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. How could I forget that? There we go. All right, Ezekiel chapter 41, it says, then he brought me to the nave and measured the side pillars. 6 cubits wide on each side was the width of the side pillars. The width of the entrance was 10 cubits, and the size of the entrance was 5 cubits on each side, and he measured the length of the nave, 40 cubits, and the width, 20 cubits. All right, so we're going to hear about a bunch of measurements of the, what you might say, the inner temple and the outer courts. We've already looked at those and those gates. I put up a picture for you guys today. So we're going to learn about this, and it's important that we understand that God is very structured. He put this in here into the Word of God so that we would understand. He's very structured in his form of worship. In fact, during the millennial kingdom, you're going to see this temple. So we believe that there, the Word of God is clear that there was a first temple, and then there was the second temple. That's when Jesus came at that temple. The third temple will be the temple of the Antichrist, and the fourth temple is the one that we're reading about here. So it says this, then he went inside and measured each side pillar of the doorway, 2 cubits, and the doorway 6 cubits high, and the width of the doorway 7 cubits. He measured its length 20 cubits and the width 20 cubits before the nave. And he said to me, this is the holy place. Woo! Can you imagine seeing that holy place of God? We're going to talk about that in Hebrews in a moment. Then he measured the wall of the temple 6 cubits and the width of the side chambers 4 cubits all around about the house on every side. The side chambers were in 3 stories, one above another, and 30 in each story, and the side chambers extended to the wall, which stood in the inward side of the all around, that they might be fastened and not be fastened into the wall of the temple itself. So the side chambers surrounding the temple were wider at each successive story because the structure surrounding the temple was upward by stages on all sides of the temple. Therefore, the width of the temple increased as it went higher, and thus one went up from the lowest story to the highest by the way of the second story. You will see this during the millennial reign of Christ. I saw also that the house had a raised platform all around. The foundations of the side chambers were a full rod of 6 long cubits in height. The thickness of the outer wall of the side chamber was 5 cubits, but the free space between the side chambers belonged to the temple. And the outer chambers was 20 cubits in width all around the temple on every side. So you're thinking, Pastor Brian, temple, chambers, width, measurement, you know, you're probably thinking, what in the world? Here's why I want you to walk away. There's a holy place. God does everything in an orderly fashion. These measurements are true. God's word is true, and he wanted us to know about them. for whatever reason. The doorways of the side chambers towards the free space consisted of one doorway towards the north and another doorway towards the south, and the width of the free space was 5 cubits all around. The building that was in the front of the separate area at the side towards the west was 70 cubits wide, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick all around, and its length was 90 cubits. Then he measured the temple, 100 cubits long. The separate area with the building and its walls were also 100 cubits long. Also, the width of the front of the temple and that of the separate areas along the east side totaled 100 cubits. He measured the length of the building along the front of the separate area behind it, with a gallery on each side, 100 cubits. He also measured the inner nave and the porches of the court. The threshold, lattice windows, and the galleries round about their 3 stories opposite the threshold were paneled with wood all around and from the ground to the windows, but the windows were covered. Over the entrance and to the inner house and all the outside and all the wall around inside and outside by measurement. It was carved with cherubim and palm trees, and a palm tree was between cherub and cherub, and every cherub had 2 faces, a man's face towards the palm tree and on one side, and a young lion's face towards the palm tree on the other side. They were carved on all the house all around. From the ground to above the entrance, cherubim and palm trees were carved, as well as on the wall to the nave. The doorposts on the nave were square. As for front of the sanctuary, the appearance of one doorpost was like that of the other. The altar was of wood, 3 cubits high, and its length 2 cubits. Its corners, its base, and its sides were of wood. And he said to me, "This is the table that is before the Lord." Can you imagine that? So we see something. We see that this is the most holy place. And then we see over here, look at this. This is the table that is before the Lord. Wow. The nave and the sanctuary each had a double door. Each of the doors had 2 leaves, 2 swinging leaves, 2 leaves for one door and 2 leaves for another. Also, there were carved on them, on the doors of the nave, cherubim and palm trees like those carved on the walls. And there was a threshold of wood on the front of the porch outside. There were lattice windows and a palm trees and on the one side and on the other and on the side of the porch. Thus, there were side chambers of the house and the thresholds. So we get a very organized view of what the inner temple will look like. So he walks around that. He's highlighting the holy places, the most holy places, the precision and the sense of guarded holiness. God cares about whether we walk in his holiness or we don't. So I was putting this together. I thought, I'm going to do a search. I knew in Hebrews, it talked a lot about the temple. And maybe from Hebrews chapter 9, we can find some a little bit more clear application. Let's go here. Now, even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstands and the table and the sacred bread that is called the holy place. Wow. All right. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. All right. So there's a holy place. There's a Holy of Holies. Having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a gold jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle performing the divine worship. We're going to see a lot of this divine worship taking place, that holy of holies, that serving God in such a beautiful way. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. Since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Wow, Jesus Christ, the ultimate priest for us. Get a hold of this. Ezekiel 41 is saying, here's the architecture. It's a holy place. It's God's table. And then Hebrews right here, it's saying that Jesus is the high priest that's making a sacrifice for us. For the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of heifers, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? How much more can Christ save us? So, you know, we're talking about changing our hearts so that we can change the public square. And I would just remind you, nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. Works won't cleanse you. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses you. And that faith by grace produces in you works like never before. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That's where we're headed as the body of Christ. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment has been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. Remember that with Jesus at the table? This is my blood. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of things in which the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at this consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus has put away our sin. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. All right. Are you eagerly awaiting Jesus? Are you allowing his Holy Spirit to make you holy, to walk in the newness of Christ? So what are those measurements that we read in Ezekiel 41 have to do? Heaven's a real place. The millennial temple's a real thing. You will see it. And the only way that you can get there is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So place your trust in nothing else. Don't trust in the framework of mankind or in the Tower of Babel or in Babylon or in anything that is of this world. Put your trust in Almighty God and in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again that you may have eternal life. There's a holy place coming. There's a holy table that's going to be there, and we're going to see it. Will you join me in heaven by making Jesus Christ your Lord today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. God, we thank you for Jesus, that his blood covers our sins, washes over us like never before. Go before us, God, in all things today. Surround us. We pray for Governor Bob Ferguson today. We pray for salvation to be on him and his family. We pray for President Trump. We pray for wisdom and insight and salvation to be on him and his family. For Maria Cantwell, for Patty Murray, for so many more, for Rob Chase, for Michael Baumgartner. God, we just lift up our representatives and we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. God, our salvation is not in a man. Our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. So Lord, would you cause us as a state, as Washington State, to walk in righteousness and holiness and to sense that you have a plan. You are coming soon for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard